So there's an opportunity now for members of the public to ask questions on any of the items on the agenda. So if you'd like to ask a question, I encourage you to raise your hand and I'll invite you to the central position here. And please ask your question and then we'll try and give an answer. If you can't answer tonight, then we'll take one notice and answer it next week. Is anybody who'd like to ask a question on the agenda item? Yes, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Your Worship. My question relates to item 6.6 on the agenda, page 28 and page 30 of the minutes. It relates to the roofing of the property on One River Street, Bassendean. What my question relates to is, according to the minutes, the council communicated to the owner in February 2012 and again in May 2012, and the minutes suggest that nothing happened until he was again communicated with on the 4th of January 2018. So my question is, are we in the town asleep at the wheel for 6 years, or is there some other reason why the matter wasn't dealt with some years ago?
Thank you. Although there's no excuse, the communication that you refer to occurred prior to any of the current planning staff members being employed at the town of Bassendean. That matter was an item that was identified as being a lapsed application that was still technically on the books as part of the cleanup, but we did working through old outstanding applications that were still seen to be active. It was programmed in to be activated and dealt with, and at the earliest opportunity that we could do as part of that program, we then followed up with the property owners.
Your Worship, I'm in favour of laws and regulation to govern our good community behaviour. But there's no point in making any law or regulation if we're not going to enforce it. And I think my limited knowledge of legal proceedings, if we took this to court, we'd be thrown out and thus waste our money. So if it is to be proceed to legal action, I would like to see that someone gives us advice as to our chance of success. And if it's not, if there's no chance, that let's not spend any money on it. Thank you, Your Worship.
Are there any other further questions?
I actually have a question, but it's in the form of a statement on behalf of some of the residents in Five Street. It relates to the item 6.4 that's on the agenda about the ingress and egress of traffic into Success Hill area and the officer's recommendation in relation to that. My first question is, when are we going to receive the survey results that weren't supplied prior to this meeting?
So we've had some communication online today about this, and the staff are aware that the survey comments are included in the agenda and we discussed this. We've signed to all of them have all the comments here. It's one extensive amount of documentation that we've been decided, we've been working to help investigate these two councillors and to university interested. Do you have any comments?
Yes, there's quite a stack that have been received. And depending on the person who provided their feedback, sometimes it's quite brief, as in yes or no, in regards to a particular option, and in other occasions it could be reasonably long, paragraph or so. So what I've said to the Mayor is that we will scan these and attach them to the OCM agenda, and that will be available. We will be looking at probably taking off the people's names because they don't necessarily want to be identified as a public document, but we'll have that discussion with the CEO and the appropriate staff member.
So they'll be available to the public prior to the next OCM?
That's right.
Okay, because it clearly wasn't a problem in relation to the other survey, which was provided.
Sorry about that.
Well, it's quite a serious omission, because because the members that live in my street, down Arinda, were really dissatisfied with the community consultation, the way that was conducted, and so I'd like to read a statement in relation to that, if I may, a short one.
I'll allow you to read it. Really, this should be for question time, and I know you have strong feelings about this, so I would encourage you to be objective.
Sure. In regard to the recommendation to acknowledge the survey results, we seek to add the caveat that the presentation to the community meeting was incomplete in that it did not detail the most recent crash statistics for both intersections under consideration. It's really serious, important information that wasn't presented at the community consultation that may have changed the whole outcome of the survey and was clearly in the public's interest. These statistics were readily available and in fact formed part of the briefing to the town. They clearly indicate that Walter Road and Lord Street intersection is more than four times more dangerous than the Success Road Lord Street intersection. If safety was the genuine concern, we believe, had this information been made available to the community, that consideration of reopening the plainly dangerous Walter Road intersection would and should have led to a different survey result. So we note that the proposal fails on their own merits in that they do not address even the stated concerns about turning right off Lord Street, that they seek to solve a supposed safety issue by forcibly directing traffic away from a safer intersection to a more dangerous one. As the most affected of these proposed options, we welcome the referral of the matter to a consultant engaged for the Bassendean Transport Study. Indeed, we would seek to have direct engagement with that consultation, with that consultant, believing in the principle that the most affected should have the loudest voice. Finally, we consider that the proposal is to be a distraction from the real problem, which is the proper management of Lord Street. The City of Swan plans on turning their section of Lord Street into a dual-lane carriageway by 2022. This will end at Morley Drive, the boundary between the City of Swan and our town. The City of Swan is solving their traffic problem by leaving it on our front door. Instead of meekly following suit and turning our suburb into a highway for other people to use, the town of Bassendean should look to what Mount Hawthorne did in Scarborough Beach Road. Mount Hawthorne's section of Scarborough Beach Road is comparable to our section on Lord Street. It's the same length and carries the same traffic volume. Mount Hawthorne made Scarborough Beach Road a road for Mount Hawthorne residents. They made it friendly for local traffic, pedestrians and cyclists. They affirmed and enacted the principles of the built environment strategy to connect the town through a safe and inviting walking and cycling network, advocate for improved and innovative transport and access solutions, enhance the livability of the local neighbourhoods, and enhance road safety through design. The town of Bassendean needs to do more. Wasting money on unnecessary diversions like reopening the dangerous Walter Road doesn't make sense. So I would like to seek some commitment from the town of Bassendean that they will actually provide that information to the consultant that we're all paying for, given that the consultation was very biased in a predetermined outcome by consulting with the entire suburb and really diluting the voices of a small group of residents that are going to carry the burden of safety risks, pollution risks and traffic risks. Thank you.
The building has had little maintenance until we bought it. When we took it over, very quickly afterwards, we discovered toilets were very, very blocked up. We had sewage blocking up. We had downpipes from the sewage blocking up. We had sewage leaking from the top toilet into the walls. A whole heap of dirt from the northern side pressing up against the house. Anyway, at the end of it is we spent over $100,000 on this house. We have saved it from further denigration. Really, all I hear at the moment is this is our heritage, and you've got to pay for it. And I think we deserve a little respect for saving this house. Now, the current house was on the roof paddock. Now, if the building was not heritage listed, I believe it wouldn't need council approval at all. Now, the real estate agent that we bought it from, who was Michael Grogan, assured us that any work which was required to be done on the house would be council approved and as a normal house. Evidently not. In 2011 we were contacted by a roof that we engaged the roof lad. Now he was inexperienced, there's no doubt about that. And between rain and overruns and costs, he decided that he had had enough when he was halfway through and decided to leave. So we had to get another person in. And on the same day that happened, we had a council inspector come down and told us to stop work in a very unpleasant manner, still on that head. Wasn't anything about a consultation. He also wanted us to put in the building application. Now, the same day the original roofer walked off, we got a call to say that he slipped an inverted column on our stairs and irritated an old injury, which in 2014. The house insurance finally paid him out after many arguments. We found this was the first time that Mr. Dillon had indicated this actual scenario, which left us with a large legal bill anyway after they paid out. Now, our story is that I don't know whether you're familiar with it. At the time we purchased the property, we had a paper distribution business which is producing very good money. So, we had a short indication that we could not only maintain the property, but we could build up virtually. However, business collapsed. The Norwegian owners' papers collapsed all worldwide at the time, so our business was half in value. We managed to sell it at half the price we paid for it in 1999, about 15 years later, and it was demanded a great deal of my time, mainly at night time, so that I spent most of the daytime hours asleep in bed. Now, in 2014 again, we bought a small, vigorous courier van, and that's also gone downhill. That left us with only a small amount of income to cover normal expenses. So that gets us to our current house condition. The roof is half bad in zinc room padding. The remainder is still the old and rusted sheet. There's no gutter on the west side, but all the other gutters that were there when we came there are still in position. On the east side, they're rusted through completely. And we've only replaced one downpipe. One. That's on the west side. So all the rest of the downpipes are still in place and they're still here. Veranda. This is another one of our little failures. Some posts on the lower veranda have been replaced with supports underneath to stop them sinking. And the veranda is stable now due to our timber supports that we've installed, but we'll need some major repairs. The only features in the front came about because we removed asbestos sheeting holding the covering. When we did that, half the fell to this. It was just soaking back from the white rain and then constantly dripping down from the wind back out. We did engage a structural engineer in 2012, but he failed to review the repair plan of any description. His only plan was to take money off it. Now, our current choices, we're approaching retirement, we've got very little assets, we shall need to sell all or part of this property. Now, it's quite feasible to stop the buy this lot on the southern side. However, with current low real estate prices, it may be better to borrow more than the mortgage, do the repairs and tell them a few of your time, keep looking further at the money. Now, the State Heritage Office liaison at the moment stands with still the senior grants administrator, which is Christine Potter, this week. And she gave her opinions and advice in regard to our problem. Now, she could see no real objection to completing the roof in Lithuania, but it cannot be supported by a grant. So, she outlined the new grant procedure, which has eliminated the old $5,000 I've got it and I'm gone consultant fee. The process now involves obtaining estimates from a structural engineer to provide detailed scope of the work, including materials, profiles, etc. Now, depending on cost she advises, we would be better served probably to incorporate the roof and the brand into one job with a single grant. Now, she advised asking the Bachelor and Chancellor for a stay of proceedings and the team would get it all together and get a grant application in for the 2018 round of grants. Applications are expected to open in June. Selections will be made in September, October, although that's not sure either because the last lot didn't finalise until January this year. She felt that our criteria would probably be suitable for a grant, so, and she knows now exactly what the situation is. Now, she was to afford a reply to our letter today, but it's not received so far, so I don't know exactly what her formal reply would be. Now, in conclusion, we're in a hard situation. There's a delay to allow us to apply for a grant in the best interest of this building. The house, for the first time in many years, is now livable, and repairs to the roof and veranda will complete our major repairs. Minor maintenance is ongoing, and any voluntary assistance from any interested parties will be very much appreciated. We do have three recommendations. First one, of course, we need to recommend that council postpone further action for the minister to apply for a grant. But the other two are rather generic in that. We would like copies of all communications in regard to heritage houses to be supplied to the owners of the heritage houses so that everybody is atop what is going on at all times. And the third recommendation is to nominate a council member of one position or another to actively liaise with heritage house owners so that he can act as a one-stop agency and liaise also with the Heritage Council so that we know what is expected, to know how to do it without even starting to apply for anything, so we get an idea of what is going on first. That concludes my little spiel. I'm very sorry that I had the room open out. Thank you.
Just stay here for a moment
if you want
to ask
some
questions. Feel free to take a seat as well if you like. I'd just like to ask one question. You mentioned that you have some options. So you said selling, subdividing, and applying some grants. So it sounds like from what you're saying that your preference is applying for grants. What? How do you feel about the other two options?
We have a large block of ground to the southern side of our place, which we could subdivide. I mean, it's very valuable ground here. Yeah? And if we did manage to get a subdivision in there and then sell it off, we would be in a position to be able to support the group and the ground. Now, I don't know about the costings. If the costings come in at a reasonable level and we get a ground on a 50-50 basis, we will probably be able to service the land until such time as we retire, and then I can access my superannuation and pay that off if it's within a certain limit. I mean, we're not really near it even in our retirement funds. What was the other part of your question?
So there were the other two options. There was the subdivision, which you touched on. Have you received advice from someone that you could subdivide that property? Because I thought there might be some questions.
I was just going on the subdivision that we've already had in place, which is the six houses which are to the north of us, which are part of that original property, and they were subdivided off and they've all been successfully sold off. So if we've got 300 square metres spare there somewhere, I'd actually like to be able to do that.
That would be something
we need
to explore more, yeah. I think. But then the third option that you mentioned is potentially selling.
Yes, I mean, at the moment the real estate market is down, so I would prefer see if we could actually get the property up to scratch. Service alone for a couple of years for the real estate pretty start to rise a bit, then we're going to get a decent return on our investment. It's an investment for it. It's not a very good money back type investment, any of these properties. But we, and we reiterate, we have saved this out and we have looked after it.
Do other councillors have any questions, Mr. Mayor?
I had a question regarding, you said one of the down pipes were replaced. Was there any other piping there that has been replaced that is in a down pipe?
Not by us, I don't know. There has been plastic put in there, but what's done by us? Now, maybe we can incorporate that if we get this loan to this grant and be able to do it. I mean, I'm not against replacing all of the down pipes and bring everything back to scratch. But I can't give that money. It's simple as that. And then the new system, I think, will be a lot simpler than what the old system was. I mean, and we definitely need people to be able to tell us what is required all the time.
It's a personal question, we've got a way to answer it. I was just curious how far away you were from the fire
company? I should be retired, I'm at 67 too.
So you just mentioned earlier that there was the possibility of accessing some of the superannuation might play into the plans that you have going forward. So
well, as you realise, you can't, well, you can't afford to retire at the moment, at least not until this is over. And you can't access the superannuation until after you've been able to retire. Again, the talk has been a lot and a half, I think. So
when you mentioned the possibility of the same proceeding, so that you've got a chance to put in a grant application, did you get an indication from them about how long it would take before you get an answer on the grant application?
Well, she was going to write us back to the prior today to give us an indication of what the likelihood would be. We haven't agreed with it, she's going to send it by email. Evidently, either she's been too busy or for some reason it hasn't come through.
Can I just answer that,
please?
Yes. The grants, it's all associated with the government budget, and she said that the money's allocated with the budget. Then they release, they send out letters to all the heritage owners, and you put your application in, which closes at a certain date, and then around September, October, they release the people that remain for the people that have been awarded the grant. So then it still takes time after that for us to get everything in progress.
And then schedule work, so possibly best case scenario, you'd be looking at around Christmas time for 2 weeks?
Well, according to the application form, we have 9 months from the time that the grant is made to the completion of the work, which means we have to have our people lined up well and truly before we get engaged.
Did they mention whether there was any assistance in preparing the grant application at all? I imagine there might be some technical information that they
required. No, you didn't. This lady isn't the grant lady, so she obviously knows what she's talking about, but we're simply going to have to fill out a form and then go through it. Simple as that. She was talking about having an estimate to pay the supervising structural engineer, who then would be responsible for rounding up the work, all the materials required, and all the rest of it, which we could then, this is the way to explain it as far as I know, and then we could then present that to the people who would actually be doing the work. So it's not the simple process, it's a good way to go about it.
So did she indicate whether there would be significant costs then in putting this grant application together? Would you need architect drawings or anything like that as a part of the grant application, or is it just a scope of work?
This is going to go far, yes.
Going back to Christine, I'll have the heritage
question I would have asked you, if you know, that from the house, from the investment, but at least it would cure the house, I think. I mean, who does this all?
Delay anything with the proceedings and not successful with the grants and it comes back to us, what kind of options are we looking at?
As part of that, we've already thought of this, as part of our procedure that we'll go through is to determine how much it would cost to do a minimum requirement. And the minimum requirement at the moment, as I understand, is to remove the particular roofing, which covers about half the roof, and replace it with short sheeting, and replace the downpipe with, you know, if you want a downpipe and a couple of downpipes there, which you couldn't put in anyway.
And the gutter.
Eh?
And the gutter.
Oh, and the gutter.
Two matters that Councillor Herring spoke about. First of all, thank you. Two matters that Council, Town and Herring spoke have issue with are the unauthorised roofing. And before, there was simply a matter of long sheets as opposed to short sheets. That's an aesthetics issue. That'd be right.
That's the only. I got hold of a document from Heritage New South Wales and document number 481 or something like that was called, and they stated that Tingleroom is a superior product, which is why everyone uses it now, Tingleroom. But the only callback on that would be its actual shiny appearance as opposed to a low sheen type.
So the issue with short sheets as opposed to long sheets. Long sheets as opposed to short sheets. The second point is the downpipe and definition. These are pipes that are linked to your gutters and storm water is then directed into the whatever system. There are a lot of other pipes there, but one example was the shoosh that I saw was a plastic pipe that came off a evaporative air conditioner.
Yep.
That's not an issue. There's other up pipes that are obviously flues, they're plastic as well.
The roof coming stuff?
A pipe on the western side of the building.
These were not pipes
put in by you?
No, they weren't put in by us.
The toilet ones. Say
again? I understand, but so there's only the one gutter pipe, the down pipe, that needs to be replaced energetically. Thanks, sir. I was trying to get my mind across. There's quite a few other service pipes
that
don't deal with stormwater. They do look a little untidy because they're plastic.
The down pipe there that goes down from the wash basins and things like that, each one of those has got a pipe that comes off of it. Which is to prevent air off the cable.
That's the question we found. But we don't have issue with those other conduits.
We do.
Hmm? You do?
We do.
Yeah, it says here that management problem, problem is unauthorised re-roofing and stormwater management. But as I mentioned, another number
of conduits. The initial correspondence we had with the Heritage Office was in relation to stormwater. But if you, the recommendation, sure wants that to be external PVC pipes. So it got rid of the downpipe.
You can understand my confusion when I read 6.6.
Yes, absolutely.
It said stormwater only.
Yeah.
But there are an example of the conduit in that runs from the first floor roof and drains off water from the evaporative air conditioning system.
Yeah.
They're not assisting that with the stewardship.
No, so the issue is all external plastic PVC piping has been installed, so it's not limited to stormwater piping, like it initially was said in the letter to them. It's the same clarification that it, and it is always external piping.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Murphy. I appreciate that it's a topic that's close to your heart and quite personal, so thank you for sharing your story with us. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, sir. Okay, so now we have a deputation from Mr. Brad Meyer, who's speaking to item 6.4, which is the success for ingress and egress. So if you'd like to come forward. Okay, and again, you've got 10 minutes if you wish to start to speak, and then see what you'd like to say, some questions for you.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make a couple of points on 6.4, and that was exactly the ingress and egress. I was actually the survey, I completed the survey, and I don't support any of the proposals that were put forward for a number of reasons. I don't think it was broad enough. It didn't include access from the other side of Broad Street. We've only really looked at such as we haven't considered Broad Street access from the train station and that there is all busy sections. So if there's an issue getting out of such a still the same issue that we can all speak from both sides to all other points on Broad Street. But first, the bigger issue though, in looking at this, is it was happening with Broad Street as a whole. As we know, the Sydney Swan looking at going to two lanes. So I suppose the question for council is, what do we as a town want to do about it? Do we want all of that traffic dumped on us? And if that happens, where does it go? And I think we need to get through it here and sort of go through it all and just worry about the
thank you. And then we have one final deputation. This is from Mr. Ben Buckley, who's speaking on item 8.1, which is the request to purchase lot 5, Melbourne Drive East. You're welcome.
Thank you. A bit of competition outside, I hear. thank you, Mayor and Councillor. But I'm not aware of what's in the recommendation for the information. But I do apologise. Mr. Chapman, who is the owner's agent, couldn't attend tonight because of a lot of commitments, but will be available next week. So I'm really here to answer any questions that you or the councillors may have. But in essence, just to assure everybody that we want to get on with this project, and we had a resolution last year that events have overtaken it, so it needs to be solidified in our opinion to make it commercially viable. And also I think for you too, as the property, this goes back a long time. I remember looking at this lot 5 when Craig McClure looked at all the sites for the town. But a key element of it is that there are constraints with the site. I'm a town planner from Berris, Australia, and as you can see from my age, I've done a few projects. And but the problem is with this site, we need to complete the investigation before we can really get down to any detail. And the Department of Water and Environment Regulation has said the same thing. So, you know, in terms of the request for an outline plan of what's going to go on there, I mean, I can prepare a plan, but it may come back after the investigation. But the things that we put on the plan are just not possible. So it seems to me the step is to recommit to what in the letter that we sent to council, which is on record, and then we can go to the steps. I've got our environmental people on standby, and the answer my client is prepared to pay those costs, and leave it there. So I'll leave it there.
Mr. Chapman's planning for next week, is he to the... Chapman planning for coming next week to the council?
He can come next week, yes.
Because okay, I think there may be more questions, because obviously this is a confidential item, and council's going to have a chance to ask the staff or who they'd like to ask at this stage. So if he was able to be here to ask the questions next week, that would probably be helpful as well.
We'll be here, yes.
Now, you mentioned that your client was willing to pay the costs. What costs were they willing to pay exactly?
In the environmental investigation? Yeah, at this stage, we've obtained two prices, one from your previous consultant, one from ours, and that's $20,000 plus GST. That's phase one of the initial investigation, and then we go ahead. But my experience with a lot of projects similar to this, that could end up, you know, $100,000. Whatever, but it will depend on the outcome of the investigation. Because what will happen is that it will have to be reported back to the water and rectified.
So aside from the signature report, I'm not sure what the other plans are. Go ahead with what plans exactly. What's imagined to be used or built on it?
With the rest of the land? Well, that's what in the... That's what we're waiting for. Once we get the investigation, environmental, this investigation will only look at your side, we'll look at our side as well. And then that will determine what we can set on. At the moment, we've spoken to the department, they're not prepared to approve any plans until the investigation is carried out.
Is there anything preventing environmental investigations on the website that the owner already has?
No. No, all we want is some certainty from council, because the resolution made 2017 didn't really provide that, as it was set out in our letter.
You can imagine the community might be interested in some certainty of what's happening with an otherwise derelict site that's been sitting there for quite some time.
Right.
So you could theoretically go ahead and do environmental investigations on the block that's already on, and then separately, in addition to the later stage.
Well, it really depends on the investigation. You know,
if your client's preference is to obtain what flight first before doing any other environmental investigation.
So. Well, no, the investigation will investigate both blocks, what for and what time.
So, what sort of things might you find that would change what you would do above the ground?
Well, I've worked on a number of sites. Certain criteria where you can't put things on there which might be sensitive use, for example, food, things like that, house, so forth. They're the sort of depends on what's coming out of the ground.
Just what's coming out of the ground where the former petrol station was or where the shopping section was?
I may have moved, but that's the risk. Could have moved either our side or it could have moved to another side. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you'd be able to track any, I'm guessing, main links of oil or petrol or something under the surface. You'd be able to test, though, whether any of those substances have migrated off that side onto the side that the client company owns already, but couldn't be doing that and stuff.
Well, that's right. That's what we want to do, Councillor, because at the moment there are already some boreholes there, goes back to 2005, I think it was. So they need to be reopened and reinvestigated, and some others put down which would be on our side. excavation of the soil has been done. It's a matter of what was not done.
So there's nothing other than a preference stopping those investigations being done.
Other than some survey from council with different interest in what which we put out and set out in the way that the council.
Interesting. Selling.
Thanks for your presentation. I think it's a personal feeling. I think we might be a feeling council that we don't want to relinquish this block, that we will still be sitting here in 10 years' time with your clients holding on to it, but not considering any kind of development. And the concept plans, we have no guarantee that that this block is going to be developed in any way. And it may just be held on to for a decade until property values improve. That is our concern. It's just sitting there redundant, vacant, and an eyesore for a long time now. Our concern is it will be the case in 10 years' time.
That's a fair concern. That our proposal to council was if nothing happens for some reason, and believe me, we want to move ahead. If nothing happens in 3 years, then our first sit back.
Thank you, and we look forward. was expected to happen next week.
Yeah, okay, I'll make sure it's here next week.
And you could pass on some of the comments that were made this evening.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor.
Thank you. Okay, councillors, just wanted to check whether or not there's any declarations of interest.
Take off.
What are you? I
have a
proximity interest. I 6.9. Very regular and added use.
You can.
Stay in the room. Anybody else?
See you.
Good to see you.
I've seen you.
Be well.
In that case, we'll move on to the reports to look at deputation. So if we go to 6.5 first, which is the lower grade proposed. Okay. 6.4, sorry. Mm-hmm. That's the ingress and egress to successfully. And any questions that councillors have for staff?
So we've spoken a little bit about potential challenges of getting out onto Lord Street, but I'd be interested to know in regards to this management and conversations about bushfire and emergency access. Is the town in any way obligated or required to have more than one experience that one other is going to legislation for companies in
Yes, look, through the chair. There are, yes, part of the design process that we would be looking at, we would be looking at improving accessibility. The officer's recommendation is to refer that to the transport service that would be undertaking, and so all of the community feedback which we have received, the consultant would review. Plus taking into consideration what is proposed with the City of Swan, with their future road proposal, which we understand is due to occur in about 5 years or so. So we are concerned about that as well, and so we're taking that into consideration about how to deal with that traffic protection coming down the last minute.
So that's for the fire access though?
Fire access, yes, that's part of the issue about trying to improve accessibility into the year. And just emergency access, because if that intersection is blocked at any time, if we've got no other exit out of that, that's something.
I think Councillor Richard was specifically asking about whether there was a requirement, am I correct? Yeah. Having more than one, that's correct.
Look, in a new subdivision, yes, there would be. Because it's an old subdivision and it was done prior to the planning requirements, obviously that would take into consideration when they blocked off the other.
Yes, thank you. A question of the housing growth. Obviously we're committed to increase our housing stocks by 70% by year 2050. Is there any capacity to increase density in that area of success? And the reason I ask is obviously the one road in and out with doubling of the population is likely to become a bit of a bottleneck to improve here. So the question is, do we have any prediction of the increase in housing density around that success point on the northern side of the road?
Sorry.
We haven't done any group, I don't have it on me, but I guess with the 4,200 population of running influence required, you could practically send it to Ashfield or Ambassadors, those sort of spinning birds or whatever, and give you some indication. But part of the traffic study that's we're going to do, we'll actually look at the impact of where the density level is proposed, what's the impact on traffic going to be, and also parking in that area. And that's a particular requirement of the transport study.
Thank you. Maybe I'll say the reason for my question. The limited capacity to increase housing stocks there currently, and probably that road services adequately.
The population there at the moment, but as I said, if it doubles, it could be an issue. And I was wondering if we had that, forward plan in mind, where a second road may become second egress road,
one of the
may become essential.
Well, in the traffic study group, it's actually been asked to address the permeability issues of the reason about traffic moves in and out of areas. So that's what we're trying to understand.
Do you have a timeline for that study?
Guildford Road, one of the main roads, not just back in that location.
That's quite
a good location. Yeah, there's, they give us some guidelines about the type of road to connect.
Are there any further questions, Councillor Clinton? I'm just wondering if the City of Swan will be sharing any of their traffic management plan data and incorporating it into the government's study, given that they have to have some kind of research.
Yes, Swan have got their data and they're providing it to us. If you have got their data, you'll know. They're in their first stage of doing all their drawings, the 15-cent drawings of all the two phases of the road. And they're asking us whether we want to participate in that tonight, but at this stage we haven't done it, because we haven't come back to council on that to proceed with that. But yes, we have some data that they'll provide us.
They've got quite a long way to go because it's going from Benara and then it's going through a portion of a public open space.
Well, that's
the plan. So there's a degree of consultation that will have to occur with the Aboriginal landholders of that area. And so there's quite a lot, I think they have quite a long way to go in regards to resolving a lot of those issues. But as Cardi's indicated, they actually have the point of consult to start doing some design, and they have approached the town, but we haven't provided a response in regards to their proposal to us, because council hasn't made any determination. This could be going for a couple of weeks, this could be looking at providing our feedback from the community to a traffic study and a transport study to our city, and that transport study will make some recommendations as to how to deal with some of those issues, and then that will come back to council for consideration. So we're really at the beginning of that planning process.
We've kind of slightly gone off the agenda.
Yes, we are. I'm very familiar with it. In fact, we've had some discussions with the strategic planner, director, and in regards to some of the options there. But again, we haven't really agreed at those very early stages.
I think that's something that the town access community should be interested in discussing options around the later.
Yes, exactly.
I just have one more question. I noticed in the council of Georgia, and I think the last one,
my question isn't outside of that scope. Am I correct in understanding that the traffic study will help inform whether we want to be part of what this is called a little bit more straight on?
It will, because I've also probably asked the question whether we don't do carriageway, what's the effect on the move as well?
Thank you. Anything further?
Our civil engineers and town plans know what is going to happen beyond Morley Drive towards the Hill Parade. We're already excising land from parcels of land up on the eastern side of Lord Street. They know that we don't. Certainly the traffic bridge over the rail line is in the medium term going to have to be replaced to accommodate those new lanes that come through. That's what I'm assuming. Would that, if we were to link with those people, would that affect what we're going to be doing with Walker Road and Lord Street? Or is this an interim measure until this new road plan comes to power? Well, you said currently the existing road services are probably the population of success. And the concern is that the Burton place, Burton sites and what have you, will be developed. And I'm not really suggesting that intersection is going to become crucial. So it's just an observation rather than a question. There are people out there that know what's going to happen to us. And we've seen examples of that. Narrows Bridge, all those things have been on the drawing board for decades, but they don't necessarily tell us. Maybe we need to do some engagement with them.
I just like to remind you of your type of people to question, so you're not supposed to be debating this evening.
So Councillor Quinn mentioned MetroNet. The other issue that's been dealt with at the moment is on the highway and have we been given any advice or anything?
The City of Swan about how that might affect their plans. They said it could, because there's quite a lot of work, as you're aware, happening on Bridgeport Road, etc. this that, well, people will find new ways to get to different places, and we're not sure how that's going to happen. One of the other confusing things is there's going to be a Metronet station somewhere in that mix as well, and that may take a lot of people away from who are coming from the north to come to Bassendean at the moment. They may go there, and that might help. So it's difficult to say. The mayor, the CEO of Swan suggested that there's probably a couple of guys in Main Road working feverishly on that right now. So hopefully we'll get some information from them.
The only problem I will say is that the grant application is exactly that. There's no confirmation that they will actually receive.
See, this is the liaison that we require from everybody.
We've never heard.
We want to know if we've got an approval.
I don't want to let this one slip through the cracks. We had the owners saying that they didn't receive approval for a grant, 90% of cost of works. We had the town saying that they were advised that the grant was approved. Can we have that confirmed? Because it is a relevant point, obviously. So
yeah, absolutely.
Between now and the next council. Councillor, we can have that confirmed in writing, please, in any paper trail that points it.
Other questions?
If a heritage application were to be made, town staff had to be delayed in the system to provide the same process.
With the grass on the track?
Yeah. Sure that the work is installed
Secondly, the grant will need to be approved by a close process, so they will, in theory, be approving the builder that does the works. So, and so there will be correspondence with the town and with the office all through that process. Yes.
Councillor Mitchell.
Yes, one question. With, for example, the roofing short sheet versus long sheet, is that now at our discretion, or you were saying that State Heritage body can come back and say that they don't have the ability to enforce it,
yeah,
and that the owners do not ask? Do we have discretion there in saying it's aesthetic to...
I think we have the discretion, but do we have the expertise? No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just following on for that, from my understanding, because I'm not familiar with it, with the issue with the downpipes, is that solely an issue of aesthetics, or is it also functionality and...
It's, well, it's pretty solid. Aesthetics and functionality, they should be provided in, what, put in discrete locations. I think the centre of the wall is not a discrete location, and then they should be constructed in a material that matches the roof and the covering to save them corrosion.
And also, find the heritage.
Yeah.
And obviously, the gathering is the heritage. Now, on that short sheet, it's also the material that's been used, is that correct?
The original material is the galvanised iron, which is a modern equivalent of the central wall. Through the chair, within the town's municipal heritage inventory, it's a category 1 listing, which is the highest listing that can be offered because the property is state registered.
Yeah. So being state registered, I'm assuming that the rules governing the what goes around that building are very stringent compared to lower level listings.
Through the chair, the requirements for state-listed property are more stringent than any other property, and there are requirements that apply solely to state-listed properties that do not apply to other properties that are listed within the municipal heritage inventory.
Which brings me back to what I said earlier, where there were overseen bodies, because I can see that this may well be a problem in the future if it's not done properly. If there is a grant and it's not done properly, this next time I can see that there will be a problem, because there are such strong guidelines surrounding state listed properties.
Prudential, just in reply, in theory, the level of detail and the level of documentation that is provided in support of the application should be fail-safe to ensure that if the work is undertaken in accordance with that approval, there won't be any problems at the end of the process.
Can I just add there? We have recently been into that process, and the new process, like I outlined, is that either a structural engineer with heritage qualifications or interest, or an architect with the same, oversees the work that is carried out by the contractors. So presumably, if the grant's given, it could. So he's there visiting, presumably, from where to go. That's the way I read it, anyway.
Okay,
is
there any further questions on that, Councillor Brown?
Yes, thank you. We set out the modern equivalent of corrugated iron in Zinkelin. Is the roof replacement Zinkelin?
Yes, Zinkelin, yes.
So the issue is the length of the sheets?
No, the only issue that I can come up with, according to that document I found from New South Wales Heritage, is the amount of shine on it. So
there wasn't an issue brought up in this document, it was short sheets as opposed to long.
Well, again, the document I found that you can buy the zinc sheets in long form as well as short form. Now, I don't know whether they've done it in a lot of these other heritage buildings around the place, but we were down at Fremantle, where did you go to, where did they go to?
Manger.
Yeah, down in Manger. And we had a look at a few buildings there which are evidently classified, and they had long tubes on them, but whether they are...
Well, it's not a clarified material, and I don't think the issue of reflectivity was brought up in the document, so that's not an issue. The issue is, it is zinc alone which replaces the original material, and the issue is a longer sheet as opposed to the original short sheets. So thanks for that.
Okay, let's move on to item 6.1 now, so go back up to the agenda. This is the street lighting audit. So I went and met with Mr. Cardi and Mr. Woodall yesterday, and they provided some additional clarifying information for the conversation we had, and I think that was an email from the council this afternoon, and they didn't have a chance to read that yet.
$5 on residential streets. The consultant explains that you'll get more complaints from residents having their whole house all brightened up than you would normally having a normal P3 cabinetry luminaire or LED lighting put on your street. Saying that, this is where it gets a little bit complicated. Saying all that is that basically, if at the moment within most of those streets are P3s, which is the old luminaires, once the LED lighting goes on to those, or the upper LED lighting, that will become lighter, but it won't go to a P3, which is P2, which is a higher level than a P3, but it even still won't be to meet to Australian standards. So coming back again, and this is, sorry to get confusing, this is our tip. When you get to Australian standards and you ask for Western Power to put an LED light or a luminaire to the Australian standards, they don't make them. The only way that we can get to Australian standard is to put more lights on more poles within the street. So if we're going to undertake that responsibility to try and bring all our streets within the town of Elsine to Australian standard, we'll be increasing the amount of light poles within the town and the luminaires within the town, but a fair bit of margin would be a large cost to the town to do so. So when we're writing this report, we're trying to respond to the motion of the $5 for Australian standard, and in both cases we can't achieve that with the current availability to Western Power. So if we want to go that way, we have to pay quite a few dollars to install more street poles and more lights within the street.
So really the $5 was not an appropriate motion to put in the motion.
That's right.
And this was a notice of motion from the previous council, so the staff did not provide that here. And the Australian standards, so that would apply if there's a new subdivision being developed now.
That's correct.
To retrospectively fit to the existing suburb between poles in between the 51s and now you tell me the cost for an additional pole is something in the realm of $30,000 each pole.
And following on from that, very roughly, you know, how many extra poles may we be looking at, or even in a straight project?
around a small area, about 200 metre radius. And in that area, the consultants really only give us a pricing for about Thompson Road to change the one in there and then set it that way. So we're looking at, we haven't done that thing because, you know, it's such a waste of money to try and go down that track.
So Ashfield's recently had the power to run around and place a standalone street line there. I have no idea what all of these closures or taxes and the like mean, what the money that we've got experience in Ashfield. Do you have any idea what pre level or lux level the Ashfield street line is now that we've got there?
Yeah, I believe it is
Right.
So I don't believe it's still to a straight standard. Yeah, there has been a pipe, sorry, but this is the other part of the
building. Okay, so does the Ashfield area now meet the standard of access? And that is made possible because the Dowling Underground were out of the space for like pole locks.
They have been possible closing.
Councillor Quinton?
Yeah. Who had a conversation with Wilson Power? Are you okay?
She got out in business.
I just want to understand this timeline of the 1st of July and what exactly Wilson Power is doing on the 1st of July.
Basically, what's happening is that at the moment, the procurement process.
Yeah.
During the procurement process, and they've gone down the valuation area at the moment, and then they put their recommendation up to the minister. They believe that's for the 1st of July, that's where it'll start, but they can't tell us any more about this stage.
Okay, and that on the 1st of July, that is just the ability for us to buy the LED lights from Western Power.
That'll be the ability for us to put an application in for our area to be upgraded to LED lighting, for which we'll have to pay about $500.
Yeah. And in the context of that conversation, was the 1st of July deadline contingent upon the tariffs changing because there will be a new financial year?
No. Basically, all it is for that contract to be able to start at that time. Whether they will start it or not, it would be up to the minister to apply for them. That's when they expect it to be ready and available, and then they'll be then negotiating, working with local council, local governments to actually apply for that to happen. Between now and then, they're reviewing the tariffs in those areas because they believe the LED lighting will drop. I'm not sure. I think it's around about 25-30% that they've been, but there won't be 50%, so they're moving to that area. I think it would confirm that it's over in that period.
And the recommendation for us, I know that you said in here that if we want to go ahead with that, with the 29 years in the 2020, would they be to the Australian standard?
No, the lighting still would not be to Australian standard.
So in the street, the lighting would be?
Yes.
So the only way we can reach Australian standards is by putting in additional light bulbs.
Just the information that it provides the councillors this evening in regards to some additional papers here.
So it was in the attachments, but
yes,
it's not
it was
the
in
table
the
in the report. It's a column with the prices in this one here.
So what happens if you look at the briefing agenda? You really need to go to the SAGE report, which included the estimated costs. Those are the costs that would be required to bring it up to the Australian standard, which is actually higher than in the Office of Law Book.
To clarify though, those costs do not include the cost of installing the new poles.
No, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
the cost of the poles
is
in addition to the costs
reported. So the Office's recommendation is probably kind of in line with the council.
Yes,
if we can.
Are there further questions? Yes. to 6.2, this is the brief in survey.
I'm not sure what a mistake, but I didn't see any reference to an opt-out system. Is it in the report?
No, this was something to do with the survey we were asked to do on the feedback. There was another report coming back to Council in May with all our waste and recommendations and possible initiatives that we're going to be doing, and that will be part of the details in there.
Can I ask in relation to, because obviously the time of this report is related to the closure of the grant application period.
That's right.
Now, there's an interest, I think, in being at the council to explore opting out. There are different ways that we could introduce this so that we're getting the maximum use and so that people potentially can't afford it or have other reasons not to be involved, have that option. How does what way we choose to roll this out potentially affect the grant application that we're doing?
The grant application is basically where putting a figure in and saying how many residents are bids we have to put in there. It's an estimate at this stage on the map. And that's what we put in the first week of March, it's June 5th, March. Once we put that in, we're not bound by that correct figure. We'll have the opportunity once we get the notification back in June, to say whether we've got that or not. Yeah. Then we'll modify that. So there may be a couple of figures changing up or down on that. But by that time, we should have more understanding. Our council have more understanding whether they want to accept the three-bid system or have we modify it at that stage.
So the report will may include different options that maybe other councils have used, for example?
Yeah, we're meeting with different councils at the moment. We've met with the City of Stirling. We've discussed things with City of Nolan and a couple of other councils and different ways they're doing it. I don't know that they'll have the report ready by May for us. That report they're doing and the study they're doing will be finished about June. So they'll have that information, but we'll try and give as much lead up information to them.
I think it's interesting to explore
exactly
whether or not
this
option for us
will be appreciated. I think the idea is that leads on to another opportunity that we give to increase our waste gas.
Could I ask what the three bins are proposed to hold?
So at the moment you obviously have the two bins, but your general waste and recycling, and then some other local government boards have already introduced the third bin, and that's what we're looking at, and that's for green waste.
Right.
The reference that is made to Melville is that they're using a green waste bin to include all organics, so your food waste as well, and that's something that we're going to be exploring in the future as a possibility.
Our recycling is run up against a very hard wall in that China no longer takes plastics and a lot of other recycling items, so it's going straight to landfill, especially in Western Australia.
It needs to be addressed. Very happy to have a conversation with you about that afternoon.
Okay, no worries.
Any other questions on the 3D? Councillor Hampton.
Given that
to get it ready for council to approve. We need to put this into place. draft budget as an item for council to make a further decision on. All what we're trying to do here is to let you know this is what we'll intend to do, put it in the draft budget for you to make a follow-up consideration.
The $38,000
that's listed down, quite free for the sticking. It says the placement was set up. Am I right in assuming
that actually the grant money, the
$38,000?
This is
the CCIE
grant money,
and that's
$38,000.
No, that's for the sticker and the price of under the roof.
Can I just clarify, is that for one sticker and for how many bins?
That's every recycle bin.
Just the yellow recycle bin?
Just the yellow recycle bin. Quite expensive.
Further questions?
So just to clarify, the amount of money that we would receive in the grant is not dependent on any of the other things that we're not considering.
So two different grants, two different grants.
Which grant are you talking about? $38,000 or
$3 million? $3 million. We have to have our cash in, as I think explained in the last report, we did about $40 per bin for this trip. But we'll have to be, the town will have to put that.
And just a second question, are there any conditions on how the building system is implemented? Is it receiving and accepting that plan?
We have to have a plan how we're going to roll it out and educate people on it. So we have to have an educational plan and roll out plan to do that. They're the conditions that we show them.
The particular colours of the buildings, is that a condition of acceptance?
I think what we tried to do last time was save the cost, so we got pink to green bin, and then the yellow one, and then the new one will be the red bin. So we're not changing bits to save cost in those styles. But they are state regulations of what colour they should be, so we need to do it.
That green could be one of several shades of it.
The grant money for the three bins basically is variable depending on, first of all, if opt-in or opt-out. I believe it has to be opt-out to get the full grant money, which is $30 per household. And I also think that the size of the bin affects the amount of money to match. In fact, if you go to the largest size bin, the grant money is, I think, $3, something ridiculous like that. Whereas if it's the 140 or 120 mil, I can't remember which one. It's $30 per household.
We've got the recommended 140 mil.
So preference one, yeah. I also understand some councils are doing the bin roll out to properties over the 400 square metre mark, and they're doing a small bin for them. There's a whole range of different things going on here. So, we're obviously working on that.
We have a committee of Mr. Christian Butler on the committee looking at all different planning options. We've got the development officer of the business on the committee as well, trying to go through how we can do their corporate services, the rates, and all that to try and put it all together. So, it's a pretty busy exercise.
Okay, thank you. Okay, 6.3, the Northern Pine Verge treatment, Anzac Terrace. In the report, the property owner makes several claims that they didn't get the right response. Why do you think that any evidence of that actually occurred?
Not that I'm aware of, but I'll have to follow up on that to find some of the things. A basis for the residents have given us people's handbook for the county best man, so we're not too sure whether it's necessary.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Okay,
thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Okay, the built-up platform to protect the tree roots.
So this is the one, so the James one, two, three, four, the right, please.
There's a table in there that can give the specifics.
And what was the offer for replacement trees?
So the offer for replacement trees is at least 2 for 1, and then there's also the Green Root program that they are offering to kind of basically be a part of.
And did you get a choice in what type of trees you do?
I've had discussions with so I've had discussions with Michelle Pryor again today about this. Michelle's the woman that kind of met with us to talk about the Green Root proposal. They're very keen for the Charter Basin Green to be involved with that. It would mean in addition to the 2 for 1 tree replacement, it would also give significant vegetation enhancement to be a showcase for a pilot that is Green Root. So the idea that they're trying to promote is instead of having these stark cycleways throughout the town to try and make them more appealing both in terms of the beauty and the shade. So they're looking at potentially this section of the PSP in recognition of the fact that at the moment there's a lot of vegetation there, but the community values that, and recognising that there's high value placement that wants to replace that and enhance it beyond what is currently there. So that is what they're finishing. In terms of, sorry, your question about the choice, Michelle's comment about that was that there would definitely need to be a consultation around what was in there. There'd be some restrictions based upon things like certain plants dropping fruits and those kind of things onto the pathway, but there would be the opportunity for the community to have influence that.
And the alternative would be that there would be a principal shared path everywhere between Perth and Midland except for this one.
That is correct.
And the river.
Still haven't really discussed with the Department of Transport, but I'm aware I'm looking at options for that, but we still have not really discussed it.
I think there were certain things that were going to be placed about what we're about the colour changes, the signage, and the marking of the but the other objectives that they've been investigating, such as the smalls, hot dogs, and so on, they were still under investigation.
Thank you.
across the PSP, and Michelle and Lauren that came and spoke to us were not aware of that because of the timing. They would like to be there to communicate in that forum, but unfortunately that opportunity passed. But there's a willingness now to communicate that information at this point in time. So 6.7, this is the draft stub plan policy industrial interface. Any questions? Okay, so moving on to 6.8, crash services for meetings. Thank you.
Would there be anything required to be done structurally to any of the existing buildings in order to accommodate such service?
Well, it actually articulates that if we were to hold meetings in the evenings, evening meetings, and we were holding them at Ashfield, that we could have meetings in the daycare centre.
from 30 bucks an hour and actually hourly. I'm just trying to work out if that's going to be enough. Because based on what's
being considered, we're talking a performance period.
There are a number of solicitors who are well approved, so you don't need to go through a competitive process. We can use any one of those, and we have done.
And is there ever a time when
you use solicitors? We've used solicitors for example, when we did 85 Old Perth Road, the solicitor we chose was one who specialised in that type of contract. We've used McLeod's for particularly very much municipal local government. We have used other solicitors on the project.
And this collection is considered for all the
city? If we go through our procurement process, we probably get a price from two or three of the ones along the others. That's the third solicitor.
So if council would be considered reviewing that, what process would be undertaken?
Yes, I guess.
Education, the difference between duly approved and statutory advice.
Thank you, through the chair. That is the difference between applications that we are able to determine. They're the delegate approved applications and applications where we can simply make a recommendation and it's another party who's making the decision on that application.
Basically, state government accounts, yeah.
This is the final application here, 80 to 100 thousand.
So all subdivision applications are determined by the Western Australian Planning Commission. The council provides advice and recommendations, but the commission determines.
Quite a lot of them are homes,
Councillor. Okay. Thank you.